morning. Good morning. It's so wonderful to see everyone gathered together for a wonderful morning of worship. Always exciting and humbling to see such a great congregation ready to see how God is going to be at work as we worship Him. If you are a guest with us this morning, or if you've ever visited before and have never filled out a guest card, we have those located right in front of you, and we would love to have a record of you being here with us. So the best way to do that is to fill one of those out and place it in the offering plate so we can have that record of your attendance. And we're thankful that you've chosen to worship with us together this morning. And to start everything off, I have a couple announcements to make sure we're on the same page. First of all, Awana starts tonight. Our children's ministry has an opportunity to continue teaching our children and growing them up in Christ's name with a wonderful ministry that you've learned a lot about with Awana starting at 4:30. We have over 50 children pre-registered for that, so please be in prayer about that. It's a special time. Also, tonight's the new time for Journey. Journey and Awana will coincide. We have many families that will have a child in Awana and a teenager in Journey at the same time. So for families to have that time together still, those times will coincide with one another. One announcement I would like to make for the Baptist men that you probably have begun to hear about, down the hall here in the newer building at the very end, we have a room designated to collect all the donations that the Baptist men will be collecting for their trip in November. And so just be aware of that location, and that'll take place at the end of the newer building. We're embracing technology this morning. First time I've made an announcement from a smartphone here, but this is the best way to do it since it was sent this way. WMU has an announcement to make. Red Box Ministry, Shoebox Collection are both in progress. Fair Worker desserts are due tomorrow by 4 o'clock in the kitchen. Please have them individually wrapped, and those will be delivered. And tomorrow's the WMU installation dinner at 6:30. The sign-up is out, and all ladies are invited. So there's still no WMU director or assistant, so please be aware that things are starting this Wednesday night. RAs, GAs, mission friends, very exciting time to see those beginning as well on Wednesday night with choir and the whole nine. So please be in prayer about that, and be in prayer about the WMU leader position as well being open. One final announcement, 3:30 FSYC will start tonight before Journey. I know that's a lot to take in, many things to write down and be aware of, but it's exciting always to see how God is at work in a very special way. So before we have our closing prayer, or our opening prayer, I'm going to ask our Pastor Gary.
I'm surprised we didn't hear any amens right now in the closing prayer. Let me call us into order. Isn't that 181 in Sunday school today? Praise the Lord. That is wonderful. I think we have 191 next Sunday. Wouldn't that be exciting? But thank everyone for being here. Wonderful way to start this new church year together. I will call us into business, and the purpose of this business meeting by our Constitution is to elect persons to serve on our diaconate. And so in just a moment, we published them last week. We've been getting that word out. It was in our newsletter. So hopefully you have been praying. In just a moment, you're going to receive a ballot. It will have 6 names of people who have agreed to serve, if elected, for 3 years to serve on our diaconate. And you can only elect 3. If you circle 4 names or 5 names or 6 names, it won't work, okay? You can do 1, 2, or 3. I want to make sure everybody's clear on that, but no more than 3. And then we will hopefully have the results at the end of our worship today. But what we're going to do is I'm going to invite the deacons to come forward now, and they're going to pass them out, and if you will, fold them one time. No origami, we ask you not to do that. Just fold it one time, and as soon as you've circled, and again, this is for members of our congregation, for members of Flat Springs Baptist Church, church members to vote, if you would make your selections and then pass them back to the middle of the aisles. They're going to go down, pass them out. Hopefully they'll come back. They're going to come back down and pick them back up. And I think the choir is being served as well. And so at this time, we're just going to take a minute or two to do this piece of annual housekeeping. So we are glad that you're here with us on this day. It's good to see the Lord's house full. As soon as you get it, if you would begin to mark your ballot and then fold it one time and pass it back to the center, they will all be collected there when they are taken care of. And I will add a word that Matt mentioned to our visitors. If you are visiting with us, while we're doing all this writing, grab one of those visitor cards in front of you. And don't hand that to the deacons when they come in a minute. But when we collect our offering today, you place that in. We'll take care of the finances. You just place that card. We're glad you're here as a guest for us today. Real nice weather we're having, isn't it? All right, I think the deacons are going to come back to the front now and start to collect. We want to give you time. Please make sure, and I will ask at the end, do we have all the ballots? We want to make sure we get every ballot collected. So they're going to begin to collect them now. If you would pass them to the middle aisle, and they can just walk right down the middle. If everybody would pass them to the middle, that would be helpful if you had a chance to mark it. Everybody there, we got yours. Okay. Is there anybody who has a ballot now that we have not collected? I think we have them all. Thank you so much.
Now, after taking care of some of our necessary business, let's bow our heads together and have our opening prayer. God, we come before you this morning, excited that you have gathered us together as your church. Lord, as your faith family, we are coming together knowing we are in your presence, ready to be transformed into your Son's likeness. May we do that passionately as we sing hymns of praise and worship. And Lord, also as we hear your word, touch our lives and provide us with your wisdom. God, we ask that in turn may be all used for your glory as it shows us how to live for you more dearly and more clearly. We ask this in your Son's precious name. Amen. Now let us spend just a few moments preparing our hearts and our minds for worship this morning.
turn your hymn books to page 208. We'll do all four verses.
See all of you down here. I'll give you all time to kind of gather right here in front of me so you can all hear me really well. Good morning. Great to see all of you. I have a question for you this morning. You know, that's kind of how I like to start things. I want you to think of a time where you spend with your friends. I know you probably spend time with your friends. You might even play games with your friends, right? So I want you to think of your favorite game that you play with your friends. What is your most favorite game you play with your friends? Yeah. Hide and go seek? I love it. What else? Leapfrog. Great. That's great. What else? Your favorite game? Tag. Love playing tag. Yeah, what else? Ninja Turtles. I love it. I love that. What else? Lightsabers. I like that too. I like that. So you all have some of your favorite games. One more. Yeah. Basketball, that's great. That's a really good thing to listen to here, because I'm going to tell you a story about a little girl named Katie, and she loved playing soccer, so I'm glad you mentioned a sport in there. She loved playing soccer with her friends a lot, and Katie also really enjoyed playing the piano. Well, she had been taking piano lessons for many years, and it came time to sign up for soccer and to try out for the soccer team where a lot of her friends were going to be. But she realized, looking at the schedule for both, she wasn't going to be able to do both, and she didn't know what to do. So she wrote on a piece of paper on one side soccer and on the other side piano, and started writing all the good things about soccer and all the really good things about piano that she liked, so she could make her decision to see which one she wanted to do since she couldn't do both. Well, she ended up choosing piano since she had already been taking those lessons for many years, and she knew she'd see her friends at church on Wednesdays and Sunday nights, so she chose to do piano this time. So I know sometimes you'll have some hard decisions to make, and you'll have some important decisions to make, and as you get older, you have even more important decisions to make. And the most important decision you can ever make is the decision to follow Jesus Christ. And you may think that that's an easy decision to make, that of course you want to follow Jesus Christ, you want to be a Christian, but really that's a hard decision to make. And we're going to read a verse in Luke chapter 14, verse 27, and I'm going to explain to you what that means. Jesus says, "Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." And what Jesus is saying here is you have to really think about the important decision to follow him, because it really changes your whole life. And Jesus is saying here that you can't just kind of make that decision one day and think the next day won't be any different. It's going to be a lifelong decision that you make, that each day is kind of hard, so you always pray to him like we talk about during our other sermons we've mentioned. So you have to remember that that is a decision that you are going to make at some point, whether to follow Jesus or not to follow Jesus, and it's the most important one you can make. So let's pray about that, okay? God, we come to you this morning praying for the decision to follow you to be a yes and follow your son. And God, we also pray that you show us what that means and how that's supposed to change our life. And Lord, we pray that in your son's name. Amen. I'll see y'all next week.
Let me invite you to open your bulletin as our children are returning. Add a name. Atlas Phillips is at Western Wake in the hospital, I understand, with pneumonia. So we want to add Atlas to the prayer list and keep him in our prayers in a very special way. Ed Sloan leads our prayers in a very special way. He is in the ICU at Central Carolina. Ed is not responsive and has not been responsive for a couple of days. We're hoping that's going to turn around, but we need to keep him in our prayers in a very, very special way. And we thank you for remembering Becky in your prayers. Becky is at North Carolina Memorial Hospital in Chapel Hill. We covet your prayers for her as we ask God to continue to work in his life and in her life in a very special way. Let me also ask that you would remember me. Next Sunday, I will be beginning revival at Rocky River Baptist Church. Matt will be filling our pulpit here. So I'll have to hear about the 191 that we're going to have in Sunday school. I hope somebody will text me and let me know that. But we'll be looking forward to being with the people there in Siler City and would appreciate your prayers for our effort there. And a couple of things that we need to be praying about. Awana, we've already mentioned, starts this afternoon. We're excited about that, of being able to help our children. But, oh, my goodness, do you remember whenever anybody joins the church and I say, you see this crowd of people out here? They're going to be praying for you. They need our prayers, especially our children. How precious it was to see those pews and that floor full of little lives that need to be baptized in prayer every day because they're growing into a world that will challenge them on so many, many levels. So be praying about that. And then this Wednesday night at 6:30, we're going to have a time for all those who might be interested in helping with our block party, that outreach that we try to do to our community. If you could meet us, we're going to be making some assignments at 6:30. See Karen. We're going to start our suppers this coming Wednesday. Our family meals and all of our organizations are going to kick back into high gear. They need our prayers. Would you pray with me? Lord, there are so many that we need to be praying for, some on this list and some on our personal list that need your special touch. So we lift them to your care right now. And Lord, as we gather as a congregation, that choice we made to make you the Lord of our life that Matt mentioned a moment ago, we need to do some inventory about how we're doing with that commitment. And pray, oh God, that you might speak to us clearly as we continue our focus on your love and our love for you. And Lord, as we are grateful for a church that is striving to be salt and light in a community that needs salt and light, you would just continue to bless us, to strengthen us, to challenge us, to encourage us, that we might continue to be all that you've created us to be. Go with us now as we continue to worship you in spirit and truth as FSYC will bring us a message and song. Stir our hearts stir our lives that we might live for you. In Christ's name we pray.
While the kids are getting situated, I wanted to take just a second and kind of tell you about what we're going to do.
Offertory hymn this morning is hymn number 545. Let's all stand and sing all four verses.
Our dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we love Thee. We give Thee thanks for the difference You have made in our lives. Please guide, lead, and direct us. Be with those in need. We ask that You please accept and bless these tithes and offerings to be used for Thy will and service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
choir, and thank you, FSYC. Brad, thank you for filling in for Leonard. Leonard is away on vacation. You notice Elaine is on our prayer list. She is suffering from double vision, and we want to keep her in our prayers as they are trying to figure out what is going on there. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, as we continue our conversation. The first three verses that we have been dealing with over the last few Sundays have dealt with really a comparison of love, comparing it to other things like tongues and instruments and ability to understand. But now, in our text today, in verses 4 and 5, we'll see love in action. Love in action. Let me give you the overarching principle of this word love that Paul uses here. It's the Greek word agape. And here's his premise. And hear it well. For it is the premise not only of 1 Corinthians 13, but of all of our lives. When you love God well, you love others well. And I can infer from that, when we don't love God well, we do not love others to our full potential. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to read verses 4 and 5. If you're able, would you stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's holy word? Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? God, forgive me when I want my own way. God, forgive me when I'm irritable or resentful. Remind me that I'm not loving you to the best of my ability when I treat others you created like that. Speak to me of kindness and patience, and help me to be one who in love patiently waits. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let me invite you to mark our hymn of invitation, page 416. My faith looks up to thee, as that will be our hymn of conclusion and our hymn of decision at the end of our message this morning. I love the story about the mom who saw the idea of slow pancakes as a lesson for her children. She had two boys, Kevin, who was 5, and at 5, he was large and in charge. You know what I'm saying? And his younger brother, Ryan, who was 3. And the pancakes, as I've already said, were coming off a little slow this day. And so the boys began to argue because of the delay as who would get the first pancake. And Mom saw it as an opportunity to teach a lesson. And so she said to her two sons, if Jesus were sitting here, he would say, let my brother have the first pancake. I will politely wait. Kevin turned to his younger brother and said, Ryan, you be Jesus, you see? You be Jesus. Sometimes I want you to be Jesus, especially when maybe I don't want to be him. Love politely waits. Politely waits. Is it just me, or has politeness taken a hit in the last few years? Are we not a polite society? Well, something to think about, isn't it? Paul is trying to say, let me explain to you, I've told you, you can have all these marvelous, exaggerated things. And yet, if love isn't your motivation, they do you no good. And so now he begins to move toward the meat of the matter. He says, in the beginning description of love that it is patient and kind. Patience. Patient and kindness kind of go together, don't they? It's hard to be patient and unkind. And it's hard to be unkind and be patient. They work so well together. Donald Gray Barnhouse wrote this quote, "Love is the key." And he describes it beautifully. He says, "Joy is love singing." Isn't that great? "Peace is love resting. Long suffering is love enduring. Kindness is love's touch." It's love's touch. Kindness is love's touch. Most of us, when it comes to patience, are a work in progress. Amen. We are like that fellow said, "I pray for patience quickly. Give it to me quickly, Lord." I read another quote that describes patience like this, and see if you fit into this description. "Patience is the ability to sit back and wait for an expected outcome without experiencing anxiety, tension, or frustration." I think I get a D minus right there. "Patience is the ability to let go of your need for immediate gratification and be willing to wait. Patience is the trait that displays tolerance, compassion, understanding, and acceptance toward those who are slower than you in developing maturity." I love that statement. Those that are slower than me or you in developing maturity, emotional freedom, or coping abilities. Patience. And finally, he says, "Patience is the ability to remain calm in the midst of turmoil because you know God is in control." Wow. Don't give up if you're not as patient as you need to be. Continue to study and understand what God expects. Because the more we understand what God expects, the easier patience and kindness, treating others as we desire to be treated, comes our way. That's why we keep worshiping. That's why we're starting Awana. That's why we meet on Wednesday nights. That's why we gather together to encourage and challenge one another. Because in an impatient world and an unkind world and a non-polite world, we are called to politely wait. Wait upon the Lord. I like politeness. It's the opposite of rude. Does anybody here like rude people? I didn't think so. Sometimes when I get rude, I don't even like myself. How about you? I heard a story about a wife who went with her friend to the police station because her husband had been missing for a long period of time. And when the police asked for a description, she said, "He is 6'2", has deep blue eyes, dark wavy hair, athletic build, well-groomed and sharply dressed, weighs 185 pounds. He's soft-spoken, well-mannered. He loves children." Her friend spoke up and said, "What? Your husband weighs 275 pounds. He's 5'3". He smokes cigars. He's bald. He has bad breath. He dresses sloppy. He couldn't walk around the block, and he's mean to the children." The wife replied, "Yeah, but who wants him back, you see?" She was hoping for better. We don't like rude people. We don't even like rude people in our family. Polite. Love is patient and kind. It doesn't look for its own way. Love says people matter. That's what politeness is. When I'm polite to you, when I open the door, allow you to go first, when I get to the parking place at the same time you do, and I invite you to take the parking place even when it's raining? It's because I understand that even though I might not know who you are in that car, you matter. You matter to God, and therefore you matter to me. Politeness. Self-centeredness is often expressed rudely. What we plant in our life is what grows. Chuck Swindoll said in one of his books that everyone's life is like a garden, and we need to grow some things in our garden. He says, I think there are 15 rows you might be counting behind me. 4 rows of peas. Preparedness, perseverance, promptness, and politeness. So grow those 4 rows of peas in your life. He says, then we need to grow 3 rows of squash. We need to squash gossip, squash criticism, and squash indifference. We need those 3 rows growing in our long life. And then we need 5 rows, he says, of lettuce. Let us be faithful. Let us be unselfish. Let us be loyal. Let us love one another. Let us be truthful. And then he says there are 3 rows of turnips that we need. Turn up with a smile. Turn up with a new idea. Turn up with faithful determination. It's easy to be rude in a rude world. And if we're not careful in our garden of life, this world will plant rude seeds. Don't you love it when you hoe your garden or you plow your garden and you get it all out, and then in a few days, that grass just comes right back. It just comes right back. That's what it is with this world. Even though today we may be allowing the Holy Spirit to plow our life, tomorrow, the seeds of rudeness will find their way back into our life. And if we're not careful, it'll begin to sprout in our life. Finally, this morning, love that patiently waits is not only patient and polite, but it is peace-seeking. Nothing disturbs our peace like irritation or resentment. I think that's what he meant when he said it's not arrogant. It's not rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. I wonder today if any of us here might struggle with that. Oh, not right now. But maybe at home. Maybe with a difficult family member. Maybe with a difficult person at school or at work. So easy to give rudeness for rudeness, isn't it? It's so easy to meet anger with anger. It's so easy to respond with a non-agape response. But Paul, in this beautiful chapter, reminds us that love is patient, it's polite, and it is also peace-seeking. I read some good stories about peace-seeking. Then I thought, this church, maybe the greatest story is the one I should use for this point. His name is Jesus. And in the violence of the cross, he sought peace. You're having a bad day? Not compared to the day of the cross. People are treating you unfairly? Not compared to the cross. People are taking advantage of you? Not compared Jesus in that moment when he hung in the agony of the pain of being beaten, being ridiculed, being deserted, being lied about, being unjustly crucified, taught us a lesson. Remember his lesson? Remember his prayer. He who could have called 10,000 angels prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Is there any better example of love patiently waiting? Waiting for me, waiting for you. Giving us the prime example. Isaiah 40 reminds us that those who wait on the Lord will mount up with wings like eagles, will run and not be tired. Even in the face of rudeness and wrong, we'll walk and not grow weary. We'll keep on keeping on. When we patiently, politely wait upon the Lord. Here's words that Paul said them so beautifully. And let them remind us as we move to making decisions about our own life. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. Love is not arrogant. Love is not rude. Love does not insist on its own way. Love is not irritable. Love is not resentful. Love patiently and politely waits. May God help me to be more like my Master. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, too many times I want somebody else to be Jesus. Remind me, Lord, that you did patiently wait. Help me. Help me to patiently wait on you. May every heart that's bowed before you now, O God, every life that's in this building and focused upon you, would you speak clearly to each of us about our own walk with you, about how we love you, about where we need your touch. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn and our hymn of decision is page 416. My faith looks up to thee. If God is speaking to your heart and you need to make some decision for him, whether public or private, may we do so as we stand together. I guess the nearest thing I can come to say what I'm fixing to say is that throughout my ministry, there have been times when you would feel the Lord needing you to seek a new station in your life, and so you'd put your name out there, and churches might contact you, and they would talk to you, and you'd get a letter. It's saying, "Dear Brother Gary, thank you so much for inquiring with us. God is leading us in a different direction, and we're going to be praying for you." I've got about 40 churches that have been praying for me for years. They're still, they never sent me a letter saying they quit praying for me, so I guess they're still praying. But, it kind of felt like a little bit of rejection. And it always concerns me when we have an election like this, because we're not trying to discern who's going to win and who's going to lose. Because every time I got those letters, then later God would open the door and show me clearly where I needed to go and be of service to His kingdom. And so I think what I would say to all six who allowed their names to be nominated, thank you for doing that. I want you to know that each one of them prayerfully and very carefully decided whether or not to even allow their name to be placed in this place. And so what I believe God is saying to three who aren't elected is He's got another place of service for you in a very special way. And to the three that the congregation has asked to serve for the next four years. Thank you for that correction. Will be Brother Bill Cotton, Brother Davis Harris, and Brother David Acock. So they will be the three that will serve on our active diaconate beginning the next time we come together. So we invite them to come and be a part of that. Thank you for being here with us on this day. Thank you, FSYC. As they say in Alabama, you done good. You done real good. That was excellent. And to our choir, Brad, thank you for your substituting for us today. Awana, this afternoon at 4:30. Pray three times between now and then and a couple of times during that period as we kick off this ministry, that it might encourage those who have dedicated themselves to work in it, and there are a lot of them, and to those 50-plus children who will come and be exposed to the Word of our loving God. I'm excited about what God is up to. And now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, in God's power, in God's abiding presence, that we might be His people in the midst of all His people. Would you pray with me? Lord, help me to politely wait on those You'll put in my path, that I might be able to understand those divine appointments wherever they might occur. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.